From Ascension Lutheran Church in Citrus Heights, California, this is the sermon for Sunday, April 3rd, 2022, the fifth Sunday in Lent. The preacher is Pastor Scott Jones.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from the gospel according to John, the 19th chapter. The Holy Gospel according to John. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. And the soldiers wove a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they dressed him in a purple robe. They kept coming up to him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and striking him on the face. Pilate went out again and said to them, "Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no case against him." So Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." When the chief priests and the police saw him, they shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him. I find no case against him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die because he has claimed to be the Son of God." Now when Pilate heard this, he was more afraid than ever. He entered his headquarters again, and he asked Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Pilate therefore said to him, "Do you refuse to speak to me? Do you not know that I have power to release you and power to crucify you?" Now Jesus answered him, "You would have no power over me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." From then on, Pilate tried to release him. But the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are no friend of the emperor. Everyone who claims to be a king sets himself against the emperor." When Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus outside and sat on the judge's bench at a place called the stone pavement, or in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was a day of preparation for the Passover, and it was about noon. He said to the Jews, "Here is your king." And they cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate asked them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but the emperor." Then Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We are on the cusp of another new season. Now, I'm not talking about summer, even though this next week the forecast says we'll be in the 80s and maybe even in the 90s in Sacramento. That's nice weather, but that's not summer weather. Those are spring temperatures. I am, of course, talking about finally the beginning of the 2022 Major League Baseball season. Now, if there had not been a lockout, and if the owners hadn't locked out the players, and if they'd done their work, the season would have started this last Thursday, and we'd already be enjoying regular season games. But now we have to wait until this coming Thursday when Major League Baseball has their opening day, and more importantly, this Friday when the Giants play their first game of the season, and it seems like it should be a holiday. Don't look for me in my study, is all I'm saying. My excitement about another Major League Baseball season and spring is also coupled with my impatience for yet another season. And my anticipation for this season is a liturgical anticipation. Today is the fifth Sunday in Lent, which would mean that I have gone 28 days without eating dessert or other sweet foods. Almost. but I have eaten less dessert and goodies than I did before Lent. And I got to tell you, I'm ready for Lent to be over, if I'm being honest. I am ready to wake up on Easter morning to a delicious Easter breakfast. It's not often that I get breakfast brought to me here at the church. A nice hot breakfast. I'm looking forward to that. I am ready to hear our all-comers choir and our musicians announce the good news of the resurrection in our worship service. I am ready to welcome our new members and acknowledge those who have transferred their membership to us. I am so ready for Easter because I'm hungry now. We just heard about brownies. But I'm also ready because I know what to expect. Much like I know what to expect in the seasons of spring and Major League Baseball, I know that even though our journey with Jesus to the cross where he will be crucified doesn't end there, I know that Jesus has been raised from the dead, even though now we're in the season of Lent. I know that he is not dead. But today we find ourselves still two weeks away from Easter morning. 2 weeks away from that Easter breakfast. 2 weeks away from singing Christ is Alive like Christians sing. Today we find ourselves slowly, methodically reading through the story of Jesus' trial. What happened in a few hours on that night we have spent weeks on. 2 weeks ago, we read about Jesus' interrogation by the chief priest Caiaphas, who last week handed him over to Pontius Pilate, the highest-ranking Roman official in the region. And in the first half of the trial, Pilate appealed to the Jewish leaders who had brought Jesus to him, asking them what charges they were bringing against Jesus. The people didn't respond, so he offered to turn Jesus back over to them so that they could deal with him according to their laws. But the Jewish authorities replied, "We're not permitted to put anyone to death." You see, they didn't want Jesus just killed. They wanted him crucified. One of the most horrific, painful, publicly disgraceful forms of execution that you could imagine. And it was only done by the Roman Empire. Having heard from the Jews, Pilate went back inside of his headquarters, where then he questioned Jesus, and it was then Jesus told Pilate that he could learn who he is by observing his followers. And Pilate then again went out to the crowd, if you remember, and declared that he saw no case against Jesus, offered to release him, and then cited this tradition, this Passover tradition, where one prisoner would be released. On Passover, and last week we heard the crowd shout, "Your name, my name, and Barabbas's," which condemned Jesus to death. This morning we read the second half of Jesus' trial before Pilate. And we begin with Pilate having Jesus flogged, which was a brutal beating intended to weaken the body before it was placed upon the cross. Now, there's some conjecture that Pilate did this in hopes that once the Jewish leaders saw Jesus all beaten and flogged, they would have some sympathy. And they would think, well, he suffered enough, maybe he doesn't need to be crucified. And those Roman soldiers did more than just flog Jesus. They put that crown of thorns upon his head. They dressed him in a purple robe to mock and discredit him. And they beat him and they slapped him and they made fun of him. And any claim to kingship he might have. For Jesus looked anything but royal as Pilate led him out before the crowd for the first time they're seeing him, for the first time since they've handed him over to Pilate. And Pilate again repeated himself, "I find no case against this man." And when the chief priests saw Jesus, they shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate tried to hand Jesus back over to them for them to deal with him, but they refused, saying that their laws just didn't allow them to deal with him as he deserved. By this point, the trial becomes a bit like trying to keep track of a baseball game without a scorecard. Who's in, who's out? Have you watched any of these spring training games? Number 99 pitching to number 99, who the fielder's 99. And here we are trying to understand there's the in, there's the out, there's the back and the forth and the back and the forth and the forth and the back. And Pilate's gone in, he's gone out. And now we have Pilate and Jesus back in this headquarters. And now Pilate has grown afraid and he asks Jesus perhaps the most important question, where are you from? Jesus doesn't respond. So Pilate responds to Jesus' silence by reminding him that he has power. The power to determine whether he is crucified or released. But Pilate doesn't realize how little power he has. Jesus breaks his silence and says to Pilate, you would have no power if it hadn't been granted to you from above. And then the Jews challenge Pilate, maybe seeing him begin to waver. And they let him know, they warn him that if he did release Jesus, that they would no longer see him as a friend of the emperor. And if he's no longer a friend of the emperor, you can be sure they were going to let the emperor know what he had done. And you see, Pilate's authority came from Rome. It came from the emperor. And to notify Rome that he had released a man who had claimed to be God, Caesar, who thought he was God, would see that as disloyal and treasonous. So who's on trial now? The tide seems to have shifted. Pilate now finds himself in the unenviable position of middle management. Have you been there? I have. Caught between the emperor and Rome and the people he was given to rule. And in an instant, he went from controlling the situation to being out of control because the crowd has threatened him. And how does Pilate respond? Well, he looks for and finds the easy way out. He does what he does to preserve his status, his power, his authority, his position within the Roman government, even though doing so requires him to sentence an innocent man to death. But the trial isn't quite over yet. This time, in another brilliant move, Pilate asks the Jews, are you? Well, first he says, here is your king, to which they shout, away with him, crucify him. Then he says, shall I crucify your king? Making them say it, making the blood be upon their hands. It turns the tables once again. So now it's the Jews who find themselves between a rock and a hard place. If they say that Jesus is in fact their king, then they are acknowledging that he is God. And to do so puts them at odds with Caesar, who claims to be their God. And they take a turn. Instead, they profess their loyalty to Caesar as their king. We have no king but the emperor, they said. Or said another way, we have no God but Caesar. They've sold out. In an effort to rid themselves of Jesus, they have renounced their faith. Perhaps they thought the end justifies the means. And I'm sure at the time it seemed prudent and necessary for them to preserve the peace, to protect their way of life. Maybe they had their fingers crossed while they said it. But say it, they did. And as a result, Pilate handed Jesus over to be crucified. Now, we can debate about who ultimately was responsible for Jesus' crucifixion. But doing such only creates a racket that distracts us from what has and continues to take place. Yeah, we want to indict Pilate or the Jewish authorities for not coming to Jesus' defense when it appears as though it would have been so easy for them to do so. Maybe we want to point fingers at Judas and Peter for their betraying and denying Jesus when it appears as though they were being self-centered and unloving. But before we stake a claim on the moral high ground, before we start throwing stones, we need to remind ourselves of the fragile glass houses where we live. We need to remember the times that we too have stood idly by as Jesus has been mocked and blasphemed. We need to remember the times when we too have gone along with the crowd because we were afraid of the consequences of telling the truth about our faith. We need to remember that all too often we too betray Jesus by not using the resources that he has entrusted to us for his glory. We need to remember that we too have shouted, "Crucify him," both by our actions and our inactions, by our words and those things we have left unsaid. We need to remember we too have chosen a bandit like Barabbas instead of Jesus. We need to remember what the season of Lent is all about. On Ash Wednesday, we were reminded that we, like Adam, came from the dust of the earth, and to the dust we shall return. We were reminded of our humanity and our depravity. We were reminded of our sinfulness and our need for forgiveness. During Lent, we are encouraged to remember that it is because of our sinfulness that we, like Caiaphas and Pilate and the crowd, are complicit in Jesus' crucifixion. It is because of our need for forgiveness and reconciliation that Jesus has become the Passover lamb who was sacrificed so that God's people might finally be freed from our captivity to sin. So even though the season might seem long, because we're tired of being reminded of our sinfulness and our need for God's grace, even though we might be hungry for those things that we've been denying ourselves for this time. Oh, a brownie. It's important for us to take this time to remember. Because without the crucifixion, there would be no resurrection. Just like without winter, spring would lose its meaning, and without the off season, no opening day. The liturgical season will soon change from Lent to Easter. But God's love for us never changes. It's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. It is a gift of grace that is extended to each and every one of us, not because of what we have done, but because of what God, through Jesus Christ, has done for us. We are complicit in the crucifixion. But thanks be to God for never forsaking us as we forsook him, like those in the Passion story. Amen. Next Sunday, we turn back in the story to the 12th chapter of John as we finally celebrate Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem on the back of a young colt.